This is the Inside Pitch with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by Light Up Media Group. Now, your host, former USA Baseball National Team coach, Peter Caliendo.
Hello, everyone from around the world, and welcome to the Inside Pitch. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. Well, today's show is brought to you by Audible.com, a great resource for audiobooks. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/insidepitch. There are over 180,000 titles to choose from your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MPS player. Well, listen, we've got a great show today, and we are going to discuss catchers, how to evaluate them, how they evaluate themselves, top training techniques and drills, and how to make them better, and even how to be more instinctive as a catcher. So let's get started by telling you about our special guest today, Ron Devine. First, currently Ron is the executive director of the BCA, Baseball Coaches Association, an organization which represents high school coaches around the country and hosts a great national coaching clinic with outstanding speakers. If you've never attended this convention, you got to attend. It's outstanding. It has great speakers, great educators. You'll learn a lot, and you'll also make a lot of contacts. So we'll give you information later on the show on how to become a member of the BCA and also attend their annual coaches convention. Now, Ron is definitely a special teacher and coach. He's been a head coach in high school for 28 years. We're going to give you a little background. He still hasn't stopped coaching. He's an assistant coach at Tempe Prep College, Academy in Arizona. His resume is so long, it's got to be about 10 pages because he has done so much in the game. Obviously, I can't read it all. I'm going to give you a little background, and this will give you a pretty good perspective about Ron. He was a varsity head coach for over 28 years. As I mentioned, he's won a state title. He's been runner-up. He's got four divisional championships. In 28 years, he's been to the regional tournament 21 times. He's also been 13 times to the state tournament, which is incredible. This is almost hard to believe. He's been inducted in over five high school baseball Hall of Fames. And when I was reading the resume, I think I stopped counting. He was the National Amateur Coach of the Year, chosen by USA Baseball and Major League Baseball Association. He's also spoken at over 20 high school coach associations, many of them two or three times. He's spoken, obviously, at the BCA. I've heard Ron several times. I consider him one of the best speakers, teachers, educators in the country and all over the world. He's also been with our national team program a lot of years. I can't even count them. For USA Baseball, he's on the board of directors representing the National High School Baseball Coaches Association, USA Baseball's Youth Committee. He's coached on the USA 18-year-old baseball team as an assistant coach and a head coach. He's been with several other national teams. Ron's just an amazing coach. He's done so much internationally. And also, you're going to get an idea here why he's been so successful. He's a professional teacher. His teaching accomplishments are incredible. Corona del Sol High School Teacher of the Year. Tempe Diablo Physical Education Teacher of the Year at Corona del Sol. He was selected by Walt Disney Productions as one of the top 60 teachers in all of America. And I think that tells it all right there. Finally, to me, Ron is an innovator, an outside-the-box thinker. That's why we have him on the show. We hope to have him more than once. And he will share some great ideas that have made, been successful for him in teaching catchers. So we're welcoming Ron to the show. We look forward to having him. Welcome, Ron. Great having you on the Inside Pitch. How are you doing?
Doing very well, Pete. And I thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to discuss baseball with you.
Well, I tell you what, I've known you a long time. I've heard you speak, and we spent some time in Vancouver together. So obviously, I'm very impressed on how you've done things in your career, how you've taught players, how you've developed programs, winning programs, how you coach with Team USA. The coaches, in the introduction know a lot of your background now. We'll place it also on your website. It was like 10 pages, so I had to cut it down a little bit because it was a lot of information because you've done so much in the game.
Well, I've been very lucky and very fortunate to surround myself with great people, and great people bring pretty good things out of you, and they make things easier for you. And I'm just very, you know, blessed to be where I am.
Awesome. Well, listen, let's start, you know, it's a basic question here that I want to get the ball rolling. You know, a lot of young coaches also on that listen to the Inside Pitch. We've got high school, college, pros, but we also have volunteers. You know, a lot of times a volunteer coach gets a team, and it might be 8-year-olds, might be 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds, and he's got to identify or figure out, you know, who's going to catch. And it's not exactly the easiest position, one to play or for someone to try. Do you have any suggestions for our coaches out there on how to come about this, how to figure out who the catcher might be?
Well, first, Pete, you know, I think you have to determine, does the kid really want to catch?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you just stick a kid back here, that kid, in the old days, they'd get the big fat kid, put him back there to try to stop the ball, and that's the way it was.
That was bad news years, wasn't it?
That was my days, yes. But nowadays, they've finally realized that it's the heart and soul of your team. I believe it's probably the most undertaught, most looked at, least time spent with kids at being catchers. So you have to make sure that that kid really wants to do it. Then once you determine, and there are ways you can do that, and that is, you know, does he catch the ball pretty well? Is he coachable? Is he teachable? Mm-hmm. I have found over the years that shortstops and second basemen make your best catchers because catching is very similar to being that middle infielder.
I'm interested.
So look at those kids with a good hand speed and you know, good footwork, good you know, fast feet. That really would be determined. But the main thing is, you know, the kid has to want to catch. Mm-hmm. And as you teach this young man, these young kids, be patient with them. They're just little kids, especially talking about 8 years and under. They have feelings. And sometimes coaches get this egotistical attitude that, you know, I'm going to, you know, teach him to catch and make a man out of him. Well, you don't make a man out of him. Make catchers out of him. And you have to teach him the fundamentals. Everywhere I've gone and I've spoken about catching, I always tell coaches, you don't spend enough time with your catchers. And the reason they do it because they know nothing about catching. Get on the internet, you know, get some, you know, YouTubes and see what there's some good YouTubes out there that you can learn and connect to. Get a book, read a little bit about it. Have some basics, fundamentals for young men. But then once you get that, then spend some time with them, some quality time with them. Okay.
Yeah, Ron, let me ask you, on the young kids, the, you know, fear, obviously, you mentioned is, it can be, you know, a detriment for a catcher. Let's say that he's got a pretty good idea. He's not as scared as, you know, most of them, and he feels a little comfortable. Is there something they can do now to, I mean, do you just put him behind a plate and let him start catching, or is there something they can do to kind of prepare them for, you know, facing a pitcher with a live hitter?
Okay, well, first of all, you got to sell to the young man that what the gear he's putting on is there for his protection and to use it to the best that it's used for. I mean, as you know as well as I do, equipment is not cheap.
Right.
You're going to spend between $100 to $250, $300 for catcher's equipment. Well, explain to him that it's there for you to protect you. Next thing is, if you're going to start a progression, don't start a progression with just a hard baseball. Start off with something, especially if you're going to teach, you know, soft hands and how to catch a ball. Start with tennis balls or maybe a mush ball, something that's soft, and have them work on their hands, you know, catching the ball. And I always start young catchers barehanded. Just, you know, watching a kid catch with a bare hand is so much better than watching a kid catch with a glove on, because gloves sometimes make you very, very lazy.
Mm-hmm.
But use soft objects, you know, tennis balls, mush balls, Incrediballs, you know, balls that some of the manufacturers made that are soft, and then work up to a little bit of a hard ball. But you don't throw bullets at them; you throw it nice and easy. Then you put the glove on them and try to replace that same thing, soft hands, with those same objects. Mm-hmm. Let them catch with those objects to see if they can catch them, and not let them just bounce out of your glove.
And now we're going to also talk about older players, and a lot of it, the older stuff's going to relate to some of the young ones, as far as, you know, techniques and things they can work on, drills. You know, a lot of coaches, they lack practice time, especially at the younger levels. You know, what are, in your opinion, what are the main fundamentals for coaches when they lack the practice time to really focus on a catcher in their practices? What do you think those are?
Well, those are, you know, things that we overlook sometimes. I think every day in practice, a catcher has to do three things. One, he's got to work on his receiving the ball, and there are drills for that. Work on blocking the ball, and there are drills for that. And the third thing is to work on his throwing mechanics, which is, to me, the most overlooked thing in the world, because what happens is that kids who have good arms, we just say, oh, he just throw the ball. But we got to make sure that he's throwing it correctly and that he's doing, you know, the things he should do to increase his pop time and not rely on just the strength of his arm. Because as they get older, the distance gets longer, so the arm has to be a little bit stronger. The older kids, you know, they can play a long catch and get that arm strong, but the other thing they need to do is work on their pop times, you know, get the transfer of the ball.
Mm-hmm. And also now in games now, is there a way to, you know, you've done your drills. Is there things that now you have to train for to prepare for the actual game?
Well, you know, I don't like bullpens. I've never been an advocate of bullpens, but you have to have them. And the kids can learn bullpens, you know, how to catch a pitcher in the bullpen by working on his fundamentals that you've taught to him. You can get him in. I thought one of the worst things that happened to me was, and it happened in professional baseball too, they get a catcher and they stick him back there to catch BP. They leave him back there too long, because it doesn't take long to develop a bad habit. And it's very easy to keep the good habits if you work on the correct things. I always tell my catchers, if you're going to catch BP, and I tell my coaches, you know, hey, if you need to have a catcher throw BP, go get a cutout and throw the cutout. Yeah. And that's how you're doing it, throw it to an object.
Yeah.
But if I need to work my catches, I don't let them stay back behind a hitter more than one or two minutes, so that, you know, they're working on their catching the ball, even though they're not going to really catch it very many, because the ball is going to be, you know, come off the bat and being hit. But at least you're anticipating, you see the ball come off the bat as you're trying to catch the ball.
And you know, a lot of coaches, and you and I talked about this actually in Vancouver, and coaches Ron and I spoke at the BC Baseball in Vancouver Coaches Clinic, an outstanding event. Ron talked on catching the whole weekend, did an outstanding job. And I remember one time we were talking about, you know, you hear coaches, head coaches especially, talk about creating a culture. But then I talked to you, and you also discussed creating a culture for your catchers. Can you explain that?
Well, I'm a kind of a different guy, okay? I'm a little bit off the wall. But everywhere I've gone, and I get the chance to work with catchers, I learned this more when I gave up my head job, and then I went over to another school and became an assistant. He gave me, you know, I just had the catchers. You got to form this bond with them. They become your herd. They become your tribe. They become your gang. And I don't say we just have one big group. It's our family. And I want everyone that is a catcher feel that they can always help each other. And that's what it's all about. I like to work with catchers in our programs, all the older catchers and younger catchers together, so that, you know, they can see each other. So the older catchers become teachers, and the younger catchers can also become teachers by not being afraid, say, to Johnny Senior, hey, Johnny, get around the ball a bit more. You're a little too hard. Or the senior coming to the freshman, hey, you've got a pretty good arm, but you got to get down and scoop and you know, get a little dirty. So it becomes a family thing, and it's just the atmosphere that you have to create. So I tell catchers, I am there to instruct them. We are family, and we want to be the best family, the best tribe, the best herd that there is around. And we will watch other groups, other teams catch, and we'll evaluate their catching that's wrong on what's good so we can evaluate and make us better teachers. I tell kids after a while, you don't lead me anymore, guys. You know, you've got the basic, the blocking, the receiving, the throwing down. Now it's up to you to teach each other. And when you get out of this program, you can become instructors. You can become your own teachers.
You know, I love that. Have you looked at position? You mentioned position players earlier. Have you looked at position players and also changed them into catchers?
Yeah, we have. I won't give you a big leaguer's name. One year, the USA Baseball asked me to go into Atlanta, and we did the trials down there, Jerry Dawson and I, and I was asked to come in and, you know, help them with the catching. They were pretty good prospects, or I should say suspects. We really ought to call them suspects because you know what prospects are. That's just projections. But they asked me to come in and help. Well, they gave me, I think it was five catchers, one who'd never caught before. And I knew of them a little bit. And we worked, you know, I start everybody the same way. I don't care if you're a big leaguer or not, you're going to start the same way because you need basic fundamentals. And this particular young man, my God, did he pick up the fundamentals so quickly? And I went to the, you know, USA Baseball, you know, I said, hey, to be honest with you, this kid right here is probably the best of the five catchers you have. Now, you have pretty good catchers because, you know, it's a unique group. That's the best of the best. But I said, this young man is even better than those other four. With a little bit of work, he'd be one of the best because he picked it up. He could throw. Of course, he was a great hitter. And the first thing I heard was, well, you know, the scouts say, we're going to put him in the outfield, maybe third base. Well, to this day, he's an all-star third baseman, outfielder, and in the big leagues. And I still say he should have been a catcher.
Oh, interesting. And there's a lot of characteristics of catchers, and you hear different characteristics, what you look for in a catcher. Give us an idea of what you know, when you're looking at catchers, what's the top things you really want for? Obviously, you know, you can build the best catcher you want, you know, with many things. But what's the main things that you really want out of a catcher?
Okay. Let's just the reverse right now. The reverse is if you're a professional scout, you're looking, first of all, can the guy hit? They want a catcher that can hit. Mm-hmm. Two, can he throw? Three, can he receive? Well, that's way off the charts for me. If I were looking at catchers, I would say, first of all, can he receive? There aren't enough good receivers in this game. Even in the big leagues, there are a lot of poor receivers. You know, that sounds really kind of bad, and I don't want to knock Major League Baseball, but there are a lot of poor receivers. They can all throw, and most of them can hit, but they don't handle pitches very well. They don't block very well. So, you know, those are the things I look for. Then I look at the arm strength. And, you know, arm strength is just what it is. But you can improve your arm strength by being quicker with your release and your transfer and your footwork. And then basically, can he run my ball club? Does he have the smarts to know how to be a psychologist with that guy on the hill who needs a lot of psychology sometimes? That's what I look for in young catchers.
And at all ages, I mean, you know, they really need to know their pitchers. I mean, they really need to catch their pitchers a lot, I'm assuming. They need to know them. They need to – I mean, they're almost like a second coach.
Oh, they are a second coach. I mean, that's why you have to catch in a bullpen. But, you know, I tell our catchers, and even the program I'm in right now as an assistant, as a volunteer assistant, I say, you know, I don't want any of these guys catching more than one pitcher at a time, maybe two at the most. Let them get out of there and get them back in there. But he needs to know where the good release point is and listen to the pitching coach, what he's trying to correct. Know where the good curveball is. And then you have to know what kind of temperament this young man has that's on the heel. So that when I walk up to little Peter and I say, hey, Pete, you know, hey, slow yourself down a little bit. You're not in a big hurry. You know, stay on top of the ball. Don't drop down. Make sure that you're landing soft. And you're firm on your release point, you know, those type of things. I mean, you're that psychologist. And you're not one of these guys that say, ah, come on, throw strikes. Now, that's one of the worst things I hate in baseball. When I hear people yell, throw strikes, the moms and dads in the stands, throw strikes, get a hit. Yeah. Well, first of all, mom and dad and people in the stands, the pitcher's not out there to throw balls.
Yeah.
He's trying to throw strikes. And second of all, he's not trying to make it out. He's trying to get a hit. So be more positive with him. I think more positiveness is better than, you know, trying to be anger. But then again, sometimes you have to give a guy a slap on the side of the head if you're a pitcher. Yeah. To straighten them out, especially those left-handers who are kind of different.
Yeah, that's right. Lucky I'm right-handed.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, that's right. We are. Let's go one more question. Then we'll take a short, quick break and come back with Ron. You know, when I'm out there and I see a lot of players, and you know, there's catchers that are quiet. There's catchers that are real loud. Can that, you know, you want an aggressive catcher, you know, when it comes to vocal, and can you teach that?
Well, to be honest with you, my ideal catcher would be somebody who's very vocal. He is the quarterback of the baseball team. He's the only guy in the game of baseball who doesn't have to stand in fair territory at the time of a pitch. He's the only guy in baseball that sees the whole field in front of him. So I want him to be the leader, the guy that says there are two outs. Hey, there's a left-hand hitter, Pete. Ball on the right side. Make sure you're breaking that way. Know who's covering second base and a ball coming on a comeback. If I see a pitcher standing on the mound, hey, get over there and back up third base. Or if there's a bunt down third base and we're supposed to make that exchange to cover third base with the man on first and the pitcher's not doing it, you know, I either yell at the pitcher or I continue my journey back down to third base. I would prefer that the gentleman or the catcher be a leader by verbal. But at the same time, you have to be a leader by your actions also. You can yell all you want, but if you're lazy – you don't give a rat's meow about anything that you do. You know, you're egotistical. You're worried about your own stats. And then, you know, that's not a good catcher. You got to be team oriented. Team always comes first. Be a leader and take charge.
Youth Baseball Talk with Jim Cromer.
You coached some unbelievable pitchers. Did they all buy in?
Well, you know, it's like Glavin said, well, you know, my shoulder's been bothering me. When I first got there, he said, my shoulder's been bothering me a little bit. I don't know if I want to throw a couple times in between starts. I said, well, how much success have you had so far? And I said, why don't we be open-minded and give it a try? He fell in love with it. He ended up throwing more than any pitcher we had. But he would throw it the day before the game.
Listen at youthbaseballtalk.com or download the show on iTunes or Stitcher. Youth Baseball Talk, only on the Lineup Media Group.
And listen, to all our listeners, you'd like to help every time you go on Amazon, do us a favor, go to our website, click on the Amazon banner. You know, it doesn't cost anything. You might even get some good breaks, gives us some credit, helps us keep the show going. So go to Amazon.com. You can also get my Youth Drills baseball book with over 100 drills. And if you'd like, I'll give you my email and you can also inquire about my 5 instructional DVDs for coaches that has over 100 games, drills, and skills. My email is peter@insidepitchpodcast.com. And now we are back with Ron Devine from Arizona. We're talking catching, but not just catching. We're talking a lot about different things about what it takes to be a catcher, how to develop catchers. You know, Ron, big debate, as you know, and let's take this from the younger kids, older, you know, and the older players. I'm sure there's several perspectives, you know, calling pitches. Who should be doing this, when, how, and all that?
Okay, that's a good question, Pete. I'm glad you asked that because it becomes one of my pet peeves. I see too much of the coach doing all the calling the pitches. I think if you're going to teach a catcher to catch, then you need to teach him to how to make the right calls. If it's a young catcher, maybe early in the season, if you're going to call pitches, you need to, you know, give them to him. And then in between innings or maybe after the game, explain why you're doing things so he can get the same page that you are. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, you know, we overdo it. You know, we have to call every pitch. We call location. Well, gentlemen, young catchers or young pitchers can't throw the ball where you want it all the time. So let the catcher, you know, sometimes when you feel like he knows what he's doing, let him call some pitches and get used to it. One of my pet peeves were when I was in high school, as a high school coach, head coach, pitching coach would, you know, make pitches, and then he'd yell and scream at the pitcher for not being, he was not an inch further inside jamming him. Well, God almighty, they're lucky the guy could get the ball over the plate. So, you know, don't be yelling and screaming. Teach a kid how to do it. I am now a volunteer assistant for the school I opened up in 1977, and I work with all the catchers in the program. And on the freshman level, we let them call the pitches. Now, we will discuss why they call certain pitches. Young catchers have come up with a very bad disease called one-itis. You know what one-itis is, right?
Yeah.
You put down a one all the time. Well, you know, that can't be. Your first hitter comes up, you drop a one. He gets a strike. Okay, let's drop another one. Overhead. Let's throw down a two. Oops, he didn't get it. Throw down another two. Whoops, didn't get it. Well, guess what comes? A one. Well, you know, hey, learn how to mix it up. Learn how to go up, how to go down, how to throw, you know, start somebody off with a breaking pitch, how to start somebody off on a changeup. Teach him the rhythms of a hitter. If he's standing straight up, he's not going to hit a pitch low away. If he's bent over, jam him up high inside. If he's a pull hitter, throw the ball away. So you converse with your catchers, trying to educate them the best that you can do about how to pitch each hitter and how you're going to do it. I look in the college level, and God almighty, it just drives me nuts to watch these college coaches calling pitches all the time. Let the catcher do it. Now, if you have a pitch you want, you go, hey, Ty, look at me, and then, you know, signal it in. But, you know, at least teach them. Now, this sounds bad, but I'm watching in professional baseball sometimes the same things. I'm looking over, and I don't know if they're calling pitch outs. You know, if the kid is not smart enough to call a pitch out, there's something wrong. They're calling some pitches too. So let's teach our catchers, let them call pitches.
Well, you know, and I really like
that. I'll get off of the pulpit on that.
No, that's okay. Because you know what? I'm with you. I really believe, and I think you hit on a great point. Our coaches need to understand that all over the world, that, you know, we're teachers, educators, and, you know, the sooner you can get young kids to start working and making decisions, on their own and making mistakes on their own, the better they're going to be. And the coaches that are older, your high school and college coaches, are going to benefit from that. Because you now have a catcher who has an idea when he gets to you, and you don't have a robot.
Yeah. Well, you see, you know, here's the funny thing about baseball itself. We have what we call the pyramid of baseball. You know, with the highest up there, the big leaguers. When we as high school coaches, now youth coaches are the same thing. We're talking about the young catchers, the young coaches, or young players, excuse me. When a person comes into your program or comes on your team, you're stuck with what you have. So you have to develop. Develop them. Teach them. And then, like for myself, I tell catchers at the ninth grade level, I'm not going to evaluate you how good a catcher you are until you're a senior, because you have 4 years to improve. But I can chart you and give you some ideas what we need to do. And then when they finish, you know, if you want to see an honest evaluation, I can give it to you. But, you know, we go to the next level, junior college and colleges, they handpick what they want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't have to develop. So what walks into our program is what walks out of our program, good or bad. What walks in those other programs, if they don't like them, they don't give them a scholarship to bring the next kid in. It's a little different. So don't be afraid to work. And I mean really work and understand and believe in what those kids are doing.
You know, and what I'm hearing also is with our younger coaches, before they get to high school, if they can allow these kids to play the game on their own, like you said, they're not going to call pickoffs. Now, if I'm 12 years old and I'm allowed to call some pickoffs because I can see, you know, the whole field and see the leadoffs, okay, so we're going to make some mistakes. But I think those mistakes are going to become better as the kids get a chance to do that.
Pete, I'm a big advocate of that. If you take, for example, at Corona del Sol, I tell them that you're going to take and do the calling of pitch outs. You're going to be the ones going to call slide steps. You're going to be called picks. You know. and different looks. You're going to be the one that's doing that. We're not just going to leave it up to, you know, a pitching coach and that. You need to take, you know, a command of what's going on. I have freshman catchers right now that I'll say to them, hey, Jack, we need to mix in a double pick. You know, in high school baseball, I shouldn't be saying this, but it's very simple in the lower levels. As soon as a guy makes one pick over there, he's not going to follow with a double pick. So what are you going to do
exactly.
with an offensive coach? You send him the next pitch. I mean, it's just sure. I tell him, hey, I want you to double. So you know how to double. You know, sometimes even triple. Sometimes hold five long, you know, hold five count, step off, get back on, quick pitch. Teach him to slide step, mix in a slide step, which will vary the or disrupt the stuff for a hitter to do his timing. So it's just a matter of, you know, teaching kids how to do it and what to look for. You give them a little bit of more of a baseball mentality.
Yeah, and you're giving them responsibilities. I really like that because you see a lot of pitchers, they don't do anything unless, you know, somebody calls it. And then, like you said, you get to high school, and now you got to teach them this, which now, you know, you've created such a habit that they weren't doing it. Now you got to try to break that habit and even some fear. Now we're going to get to three skills that you talked about. But before we get to the three skills, the throwing, the catching, and the blocking, and a little bit maybe, I know on a podcast it's not easy, but we'll try to talk about some, maybe even one drill that can help coaches in each one of those. Before we do that, we all saw the movie Moneyball, you know, and it talked about the stereotypical, you know, catcher in the big leagues, you know, big, strong, you know, and they went against that in Moneyball. Can give us your philosophy a little bit of what you think.
Well, if this was a perfect world, which it's not, I would love to have a gigantic catcher who can throw, who can receive, yeah. who can hit, and who can run. But in the world, in the real world, that's not true. So you have to look for the person. I think Moneyball is right. The person that's going to lead your team, who can handle the pitchers, who can throw, you know, in situations when he needs to. Might not have the greatest arm, not the greatest pop time, but he knows at least he can get the ball down and get people out. And the pitchers have all the confidence in the world that when they have to bury a pitch in the ground, the ball's not going to be going to the backstop.
And all right, so now let's get to the three skills. Let's talk about receiving. Give us some tips on receiving the baseball and maybe a drill or two if you can. I know podcasts are tough, but let's try to give that a shot.
Okay, receiving. Well, that's, you know, basics. Again, I start things without a glove. Then I go to a glove. And then, you know, we do what we call phantom drills. But without a glove, you know, I will take and I will throw to them tennis balls, softballs, and have them receive. Boom, boom, right in a row. Then sometimes what I'll do is I'll be like a machine gun. I will just start firing at them as quick as I can, you know, one ball after another, and they have to catch a drop, catch a drop, catch a drop. It keeps their eyeballs open, okay? Mm. We have a tendency that we want to blink. So what we do is we do a machine gun, which is, you know, just get balls lined up right here in a bucket in front of you and just start whopping them at them, you know, nice and easy, maybe, you know, 15 feet away. Not hard, but just quickly at them. And they catch a drop, catch a drop. If they miss it, go to the next ball. Because what happens, once a kid misses a ball, he gets frustrated and all hell breaks loose. So you just concentrate. Cool.
And what are you looking for in the receiving, the hand?
That it catches it nice and soft and drops it. Nice and soft and drops it, okay? Real easy. Mm-hmm. Then I'll take it, I'll move to a baseball. And I will do the same thing. We'll do the same thing. But, you know, I won't be throwing a bullet at them. Then I'll move to their glove. Now, that's just a ball that's coming right at them. Now, what I will do with framing – and, you know, again, I've been called out a few times. We had a program called Victory with Honor, which is an outstanding, you know, program. But I was sitting in a Victory with Honor, and the gentleman knew me, and he thought he was going to get me. He says, you know, we can't cheat. So, therefore, we can't frame, because frame is cheating. Hmm. And I kind of hit a nerve for me. So I said to him, I rose my hand. He knew it was coming. He says, all right, Coach DeVinny, I knew I was going to, you know, dangle your nerves. Tell me why framing's not cheating. And I go, would you please define framing? Well, it's taking a pitch and pull it to the strike zone. I said, no, that's cheating.
Yeah.
I said, framing is stopping a ball on the block on each side of the plate, getting around it and stopping it, not pulling it in, but stopping it so it doesn't get out. Because what happens is young catchers, they have the tendency of riding that pitch out of the strike zone, both inside pitch and the outside pitch. Outside pitch is a good example. So we will take and do the same thing. And what I will do with them, I will start with a ball in their hand and I will point to the inside and they show me how they're going to frame. They'll catch the outside half of the ball. Then we'll just keep doing it back and forth. Then we'll go to the other side and get around the ball, get around the ball. Then once I see that their hands are okay, then I'll start lobbing balls out there and see if they can get around it and catch it out in front. Because a lot of times when we frame the ball too close to our body. It's got to be framed out in front of our body. So we'll work those. And then when we get good enough, we'll put the glove back on them and we'll start throwing balls down the middle, see if they're nice and soft. Throw the balls to the outside, inside, and see if they get around the ball and they catch it nice and soft. Now, one thing I've done this year, which is kind of amazing, I found a great tool to use. I've been in this game 45 years, and I try to improve my knowledge of the game as much as I possibly can, just like you, because this game's changing a little bit. And one of the things I a little product I saw that came out was it's called an MT, I think it's an MT300 or an MT100 trainer mitt. It's a little small version of a catcher's glove. Okay. And All-Star has one. And what I've done, I bought three of them for the program I'm in right now. And we start off all of our framing drills, receiving drills with tennis balls with that glove. And you have to really be soft or it's going to drop it.
That's hard.
Because they're hard. The other gloves they have, so the big hole glove, the other doesn't have a web. But I like the training glove, little small training glove to use. They're only like $59. Very good tool if you ever try one, Pete. But we worked those. I'm sorry.
Yep. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
And then, from there, we'll go to the baseball and we'll start throwing baseballs at them and we'll start do some of our drill work like transfers and that with these little gloves on. And then, like an idiot, I'll let them put their glove on with the big old gigantic humongous glove. And then they start picking up bad habits again. And they go back to small glove, then to the big glove, then they pretty much catch on.
Now, a big debate that I hear a lot is, the low pitch. How do you catch that pitch? Because that's a tough one.
Okay. I do things much, much different than anybody else, okay? I've heard guys say, get under the ball and bring it up. Scoop it up and get under. I have found personally as a catcher, you jam your thumb too much. I remember when I had the opportunity to play in the White Sox organization, he had a pitcher that had a hard sinker that felt like a big brick. And if you try to get under it, you jam it. If you have a jam thumb, you can't catch anything, no matter what it is, because you're finishing until the thumb's healed. So I started working on when you catch the low pitch, catch the top to the middle of the ball and bring it up nice and soft. And they say, well, you can't do it. Oh, yes, you can. You can do it. You put the little small trainer gloves on it. You teach them real well. You put your own glove on. You teach it real well. I teach from the top of the ball to the middle of the ball, backside of the ball, catch it and bring it up. If it gets to a point where a pitcher is always like 3 or 4 inches short, always in between that no man's land, my question to the catcher is, if he's always in that same spot, how do you make that adjustment? Move up 3 inches and you're okay. Doesn't do that anymore. So my low pitch is basically from the top to the middle of the ball. That's what I want you to catch.
That's fantastic. Right now, we're going to take a break.
This has been the Inside Pitch with Peter Caliendo, a Lineup Media Group production. Get access to all of our podcasts like Youth Baseball Talk, You're on the Clock NFL, and Let's Get It On with famed MMA referee Big John McCarthy and Sean Wheelock. Online at lineupmediagroup.com and on iTunes and Stitcher.